Hold on to your butts, it's time for a new episode of Destroy All Culture, a sonic death ray from Dimension X that sounds exactly like a weekly podcast hosted by Adam P. Nave and Aiden Morgan. Exposure to Destroy All Culture is 100% fatal, so we put it on the internet. Now listen and die! Lethal effects may take up to 75 years. And here we are with episode 135 of Destroy All Culture. I'm Adam P. Nave, and with me as always is Aiden Morgan.
Woo!
Which is how you sounded to me, because your audio is coming across a little weird. It should not be weird in the actual final podcast.
But I have been replaced
just in my life
by a robot.
So it was we missed last week because I was off at Emerald City.
Mm-hmm.
Comic Con.
Yep.
But we have a lot to go over because of that, so we could do that.
Yes.
So before we do our now regular, I guess, talk about magicians.
It seems to be like a new feature. Yep.
I need to call out, as I know I did to you in email, but for people who don't know, you know, log lines of TV episodes, it's like what they put in TV Guide.
Yes.
Or it's like, you know, Bob and Sue have to stop a bank heist, but first I have to take the dog to the vet. Like, they're designed to tell you kind of what's happening in the episode.
Right.
But, you know, only a sentence or two. And someone mentioned, like, a couple weeks ago to me that the Magician's log lines this season, like, they were normal for the first three seasons. I went back and looked at that. They were completely normal. But then, I don't know if they got someone new to do them or what.
Maybe.
But season four's log lines have been the most amazing things.
I think they ran out of give a shit for log lines and just said, we're going to do what we like.
Yeah, I mean, but they are just legitimately just fascinating to me because they, A, sound like it's like the most adorable kind of like harmless weird show in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's almost a sitcom.
Yes.
But they also, if you know what's going on in the episode, like, even if you know what's, you know, what's been happening, there are little moments where you're like, wait, what? You know, like 2 weeks ago, there was, the log line was, honestly, Penny licks an egg, Alice is jealous of a flower.
Yep.
And, I mean, again, like, I don't know what's happening in the episode before I watch it, but now I want to see it.
Exactly.
But, like, this week's, Quentin eats a quesadilla, Katie and Zelda share a smoke. And again, if you're watching the show, you're like, Katie and Zelda do what? Like, that's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Because that implies a whole turn of structure, right?
Right.
I don't think it's next week, because they don't have next week's up, but I saw the week after, which is, again, like, given this week's, you know exactly what happens in the episode, but it's also hysterical.
Hmm.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Margot gets her steps in.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah. And again, like, if you're watching this, you're like, okay, this is the one with, like, Margot's whole quest and, you know, whatever. But it sounds like an episode of Friends, doesn't it?
It really does.
Oh, you know, I also like the Quentin and Julia play picture. Margot drinks some weird milk.
I recall that episode fondly.
Right. I mean, that's... Again, they work.
And they're accurate. I mean, that,
right.
She really does drink some weird milk in that episode.
And it's kind of critical to the episode.
It is. You wouldn't think so, but it is.
Right. The 2 weeks ago episode thing, which was mostly the dragon egg weirdness.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was the one where Felicia Day pops up as Poppy.
Right. And, you know, and a little bit more of just the whole quest and Alice's whole deal. I mean, it was a fine episode. Like, it was a good episode, don't get me wrong, because they always have fun. But it wasn't one of those episodes I'm like, oh, that, there's an episode. You know what I mean?
I mean, there are some definite highlights. Like, Quentin claiming to wanting to name the.
Oh, hold on! You are breaking up enough for me that I am getting like the first and last syllable of every sentence.
Ah, what a pain! All right, how am I now?
You're better now. Let's
better
see if
now.
It lasts.
Okay. But the having Quentin naming the dragon egg Falcor was just, and insisting on calling it Falcor throughout the episode was extremely funny to me. Which is weird because I actually don't usually think of that actor whose name I can never Jason Ralph as a particularly comic actor, but when he wants to be, he can he can make the laughter rain.
Yeah, and of course the weird magician's like love of just working blue.
Yes.
With the whole like, what is the ceremony? Oh God, you know.
Right.
For no reason other than they thought it was funny.
Yeah, and like a, you know, an entire sort of scene dedicated to like Katie reading a dragon porn comic. I mean,
right.
Damn, that's bizarre. Yeah, the more I remember this episode now, the weirder it gets in my mind.
Yeah, actually, like it was a good episode. Like it had all those bits, but it didn't have. I mean, there are, you know, such standout weird moments of magicians sometimes. That again, it's not that it's bad. It's a very like when you watch it, like it's a very strong episode. It's just not.
It's not all
like
of them
the next episode, like this week's episode.
Yeah, this week's episode
with Alice splitting herself by accident and having to actually come to terms with who she is—that
was good.
Is a big, you know, it's a big deal.
That was I, you know, that I felt like they had finally found something good to do with Alice after quite a lot of because I mean one of the weaknesses of the magicians is like they have certain characters that seem to go around the periphery and. Often, I always find those storylines the least interesting. And season four is actually figuring out things to do with them. Like, I've finally invested in Katie's story, for example. And this was a great character episode for Alice. Like, finally.
Yeah. I mean, and also, weirdly, quietly, Elliot, just the Penny going into the monster's head and finding out, like, Elliot's doing this stuff and coming back and being like, yeah, Elliot's still there. And he's, like, researching stuff like a boss. Like, he's just, he's not wasting his time. He's not sitting there being like, help me.
Yeah.
He's quietly finding out things.
Right. Which is pretty great.
Yeah. Also, there was an article on something. I forget where it was, what site it was on. That called out, not in a bad way, you know, in a great way, the fact that the magicians, and we've kind of talked about this, is doing something that's fascinating, which is trying to change the built-in relationship that everyone thinks is kind of, you know, end game for,
right,
for TV show language.
Mm-hmm.
And that they actually purposely, if you look back, they're making this argument, and I was like, I totally buy it, that they purposely built Alice and Quentin to be toxic from the start.
Yes.
And that they purposely built the Elliot Quentin thing to be this friendship that just gets deeper and deeper and kind of dovetails quietly into, like, the relationship of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean, again, like, how many TV shows can you think of, modern, fairly mainstream TV shows, that are like, well, we're going to toss this perfectly, like, you know, heteronormative relationship, just, we're going to toss that out because it doesn't work. And also, we're going to be like, so here's this, like, two guys in a bisexual relationship, and that's going to be the thing you're rooting for.
Yeah.
It's not done.
No,
I mean,
no.
It should be, obviously.
Yes, but you're right. It isn't done, and except the magicians are, they're doing it, but
yeah, I mean, and again, like that, you know, it came along, the article came along with the whole, like, you know, peaches and plums, motherfucker, which weirdly, like, shouldn't be, like, this weirdly romantic line, and yet it is.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's pretty grand. Yeah, it's. I mean, I'm wondering when they figured it out. During the course of the show, I mean, because I don't think they started out that way, but at some point they realized, you know, that not only could they do this, but they could actually sort of upend the standard sort of heteronormative pattern for a show like this.
I think it was probably season two, because, like, again, you can see the
maybe.
Build starting then.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
And frankly, like, season two really is where they were just like, we're just doing our show. Like, we don't care about you, like, and you guys. You know what I mean? Like, we don't care about the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah.
Really was season two.
Mm-hmm.
Straight down to, of course, like, now, with, you know, Margot realizing that she needs to be exiled as an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
to go and hunt down and save Elliot. And it circles back to, you know, Elliot is the heart of the show.
Yes.
That everyone will just burn things to the ground for him.
Exactly.
And even down to, like, Alice's weird problem with the fact that it's not her.
Yeah. That is one of the most fascinating... I thought, actually, this last episode where she splits into two told me more about Alice than, you know, the previous couple of seasons, really.
Right.
Suddenly a lot of things I didn't quite realize about her suddenly sort of leapt into view. I mean, which I thought was pretty... I was like, good, finally.
Yeah, well, I mean, they spent a lot of seasons happily not afraid to let her be unlikable. Like, there are points where every character in the show is unlikable.
Yeah.
And they're not afraid of that, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to make sure that you can still root for them on some level.
Right.
And I think that that's what this episode did, was it realized that, like, they were almost pushing Alice too far.
Mm.
To where she started to be just completely one of these characters. You're like, just go away. Like originally Josh was, until they looped him back.
Yeah.
You know, she was starting to ride that line, and they used this to go, no, she's, you know, a good character. She's worth following. She just has issues, and she's starting to work through them finally.
Yeah. And all needed was a broken prism.
Yeah. Sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah.
Apparently. I don't know.
Also, the scene where she splits into, that was directed so, so nicely.
Yeah, because you had a second where you didn't quite realize what was happening.
Yeah.
I will say there was a bit of confusion for me. When she first drags her split self into the mirror world to kind of keep her there for a minute.
Right.
The way it was shot was they're dragging her off, and you don't see them really toss her into the mirror.
No,
And then you see her wake up in the mirror world, and I was like, oh god, is there a third one that they don't know about?
Yeah, I was. That's what I thought too, because I was surprised that they didn't do, like, the one sort of, maybe they just thought that was an effect shot they could save on, but as opposed to going through...
It might just been like a length thing of just like that 10 seconds matters sometimes.
Yep, yeah.
And again, like, they cleared it up, and maybe they even wanted the confusion.
Yeah.
Because it keeps you going, no, what the hell? Also, I'm sorry, Alice, do you not know a spell to, like, let you translate sign language?
I know.
It was a weird thing.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
But, anyway. Yeah. Actually, keeping on with Sarah Gamble, because why not?
Why the heck
She's,
not?
You know, one of the showrunners. So, Supernatural's actually ending.
I don't believe it. I think it's a ruse.
Like, I wonder if... Yeah, I mean, because they've shot down all of their plans for spin-offs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's...
Which, you know, would have made sense. And it's like, what are we going to do? Like, I mean, and, you know, not us personally, but, like... I mean, it's the number two show on the CW and has been for, I don't know, 15 years.
Yeah. Maybe they'll pop back up and say, did we say 15? We meant 1,500. And then, you know, they just keep on going into the heat death of the universe or whatever.
It's going to be weird, like, you know, having next year be their last season. I mean, it's obviously a choice they made.
Yeah.
So, you know, they have a wrap up, and I'm sure that they're going to work toward it, but it's going to be weird being like, okay, well, that was it. No more Supernatural.
Yeah.
It is officially the longest genre TV show ever.
Wow.
It is not, of course, the longest TV show ever by any number of long shots, you know.
No, no. I mean, if we're not counting, even
SVU
if we're...
was like 20 seasons, so.
How long was Little House on the Prairie? Was that? I have a feeling that's probably not nearly as long as it is in my head, but.
I don't think that's that long. Not as long as it feels.
that
and again, if you go back far enough, like, a lot of shows had like 50 seasons, but they were also counting seasons a little differently and length issues.
Yeah.
So, like, in the modern era, like I said, you tend to top out around 20-ish for hour-long shows. And that's usually, like, the SVU and the other one, the original one. We're both 20 seasons. You know, Grey's Anatomy and ER were 15. And, of course, once you get into, you know, sitcoms, it goes longer because Simpsons.
Oh, speaking of SVU Miami or whatever. No, it's not London. CSI Miami. We weren't speaking of CSI Miami, but now we are. I won't spoil this, but if you you could track down on YouTube Natalie Morales regaling the audience
oh, God.
Jeff Meyer with the, oh, you've seen it, with the anecdote about
yes.
about David Caruso.
Yes, now, if you haven't seen it, go find Natalie Morales on Seth Meyers this week, because holy shit. That was a story. It's on YouTube, God knows.
Yep. It like everything else. So so that's just gonna say that's worth seeing if you haven't seen it.
People, yes.
Frank, go see it.
Yeah, Frank, go watch that. But yeah, like I said, Supernatural ending is just, it's weird, right? And especially given the Arrow's ending too.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like, and I mean, and given that like the Warner's thing is like after the next season, all of these shows will leave Netflix, which I think means Netflix people might not get the last season of Supernatural.
Oh my God!
Which is harsh.
That what a.
If they do,
man.
They'll get it for like a year, which should be fine. But then it all moved to DC streaming stuff, and it makes you wonder if like the CW's whole DC era is going away, and they're losing Supernatural. Like, what happens to this network? They must be in like a minor state of panic, just losing two big shows this like next year.
Yeah, that's they have to come up with something. Maybe they'll come up with another. Well, if they're phasing out of the DC stuff, then I have no idea.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's like they're gonna have Batwoman starting, so they're not phasing out of it that soon.
Yeah, that's true.
They're gonna have the new Riverdale spinoff. Like they'll have stuff.
Oh, Riverdale's stuff. Yeah.
But like, yeah, it's just. Wow, like Supernatural's been the thing that network revolves around.
Yeah. I think it was actually the very last show that premiered on the WB. Or before it became the CW.
I think so.
So it's probably their only sort of like legacy program still going.
Yeah.
Maybe it was UP, I don't know. Remember UPN? That was weird.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember the WB and UPN and... Yeah.
I mean, I just remember UPN because when Buffy left WB at the end of season 5, it popped up for 2 more seasons on UPN.
Right.
But, that's...
Little did they know.
Little did they know. And of course, at that point, it was much harder to do crossovers with Angel and such. So it was very rare that you actually got them popping up in each other's universe.
Yeah. Trying to think. We had stuff we were going to talk about before.
There were
shows. There were things.
There were shows. There were things. We were going to talk about a little bit of the old Doom Patrol.
Oh, that's right. Yes, Doom Patrol, which... Yeah, they finished their two-parter.
Yeah, so we haven't talked about the end of the two-parter and the end of presumably we're gonna have Willoughby Kipling pop in again at some point, but
I'm sure.
Yeah, but also one of my favorite moments from that particular episode. When I think Cliff says to Willoughby, like, how long do we have? And he's like, 19 minutes. And then he walks up to him and shouts, I don't fucking know. I thought it was such a great rebuke to all these moments in these kinds of shows. And they say, we've only got 24 hours, or at this rate, only till like the end of the day or whatever else. And then he tries to take a swig from his flask and the flask disintegrates. And he's like, ah, crap. So.
Yeah, it was Doom Patrol.
Yeah, it was. And also with the great end line, what the fuck is a Doom Patrol?
Right? And then, of course, this episode we get... And it's interesting because we get the quote-unquote original Doom Patrol, which is made up of mostly the weird mid-generation Doom Patrol that very few people remember.
Yeah. No, I don't know much about...
Which I thought was an interesting choice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Mento was one of the original, but like, you know, the Celsius and... Like, Joshua, like, these were all people who were in that weird, Kipperberg, I think, wrote it, this weird kind of pre-Grant Morrison Doom Patrol that never really took off.
Hmm. Now, as I mentioned to you before we started, I watched it Friday at 3 in the morning. I was falling asleep a lot, and I was kind of drunk. So, can you... What happens in this episode?
Really?
Kind of.
Fair. Well, no, they find out, like, there's this old Doom Patrol that Niles was involved with, so they go to, like, look at it, and Jane has this, you know, letter telling her that she was supposed to go there.
Right.
And it turns out to kind of be this home for people he couldn't even fix or help.
Okay, that, yeah.
And they were, for a while, superheroes, and they were known as the Doom Patrol, and then they ran to Mr. Nobody, and this is what's left of them.
Right. Oh, there's the scene with the giant buttocks balloon attached to a...
Right.
A stereo,
a jukebox
that's playing something that's making everybody.
I forget the song. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you know they turn all the cops into pinatas and eat them. It's a thing.
Right. Yeah. That was. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm not surprised. And yeah, we find out that like what they're looking at, of course, is all projection from Mento.
Right. That's right. Yes, and they're actually like just decrepit old people. Yeah.
Right. Well, and here's the thing, is that when Mento is talking to Rita, in the trophy room, mm-hmm. as it were,
yep.
there are a few hysterical Easter eggs.
Oh, cool.
There is a costume that looks like Dr. Light's costume, and I actually believe it's one of the original, like, Celsius costumes, though.
Hmm.
And of course, on the drink tray is this canister, and he was like, you know, but he won't get far without his canister. That's the brain.
Oh.
Like, you know, the brain of Marshmallow. That's the brain's canister. You can see the face in it.
Whoa.
And I was just like, we're going to get there, aren't we? Like, if this gets another season, we're going full on brain and Mala. That's amazing. But the weird one that stopped a lot of people is behind Rita is the Godslayer sword from Wonder Woman.
Really?
Yes. And that's just weird.
Yeah.
Why is that there? Like, it's just, we had the prop, we put it in the camera, fuck it. You know, there's also a shield behind Dayton, behind Mento, that isn't Wonder Woman's shield, but could be, type of thing.
That is interesting.
Yeah, there's also, like, a row of medieval helmets that someone was like, is that Dr. Fate something? No, they're just medieval helmets.
Yeah, fair enough.
But no, just having the brain show up was... What?
That's...
And I love the idea that he escaped as just a brain.
He won't get far without his... Okay, that line makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah. Yeah, they really downplayed that moment.
Man.
But yeah, no, the show just is still delightful, including the video footage, which I don't know if you remember... But there is news footage of Animal, Vegetable, Mineral Man.
I remember, yes. That was...
Trying to rob a store.
but being like, bitten by the velociraptor head, by the dinosaur head.
Yeah, and ended up getting arrested. But if you watch it, and if you didn't notice this, watch it again. Because he has a stocking over his head. There's a stocking over the velociraptor head. So it won't be recognized. I love that touch so much.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God.
It is just the dumbest thing. And it, yeah, I mean, it tears away, like, the second the thing opens its mouth, it tears away.
Yeah.
But there's this, like, full, like, good, like, 2 seconds or so when he's talking to the clerk, he's like, give me all your money. And you can see there's a stocking wrapped, like, pulled tight over the velociraptor head.
Holy shit. Oh my God, that is delightful.
Yeah, it was just, oh, that's perfect. Yeah, Doom Patrol continues to be just one of the most delightful, weird-ass things in existence ever.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, in ways that I'm constantly and for all the weirdness of that episode, I mean the overall tone of it was really, really kind of mournful. I mean it was a fundamentally sad episode, and yet there is so.
Well, but
they all are. But I mean this one, But this one in particular. So that was yeah.
Yeah, I do wonder if they're gonna do the thing because in the early Doom Patrol, like they die.
Oh. Sure.
Like, at the end of the book, they die. It and then, you know, there's no more Doom Patrol, and then slowly with DC continuity, they come back. And I'm like, first end of first season, they all have to die, right? Like, that's going to happen.
Presumably. Yeah, I mean, this is...
Right, and then there'll be another season. It'll be like, don't worry about it.
don't they say so in that episode of Young Justice? They actually say we're all going to die. We're not going to make it. So
yep, it's a staple.
Yeah.
It's not as much of a staple as it is for Metal Men, which used to die at the end of every story.
Fair enough.
Which was a weird thing.
Yeah. Well, that was like all those Aeon Flux cartoons. Like the character would die.
Yeah.
In most of them. Yeah. Or C-Lab 2021, for that matter.
True.
But they would always die in delightful and hilarious ways.
As you should.
As you should. Yeah. If I'm going to die,
totally
I want to die with a series of hilarious, like, you know, misadventures ending up with me blowing up in a
right.
You know, a lab beneath the ocean.
Everyone can just die. You know, it takes a certain something to die, like, interestingly.
Exactly. Kind of a little bit of flair.
Like I said, I was at Emerald City last week, and...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which was, you know, it's fun, as always. It's huge. It has close to 100,000 people. And that's over 4 days. Like, it's not like there's 100,000 people every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's 100,000 technical, like, people, like, individual day passes. Like, if you buy a 4 day pass, you count as 4 people.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
It's that weird convention math.
Ah.
Where this is how many possible people you have showing up, and you can then break it down to days so that, fire safety. But no, it's getting insane. Like I love the show, but it is a marathon.
Yeah,
Yeah, no, it was still fun though. It was, you know, saw a bunch of people, sold a bunch of books, came home, and I'm still exhausted.
Fair enough. So you sold some books.
Oh yeah.
Oh good. I mean, I figured you would. But
that is
good to hear.
I mean, that's my job there, right?
Right.
Like that's why I go. So if I didn't sell books, there'd be a problem.
Yes, indeed.
But yeah, no, it was nice. Like I said, yeah, it was Emerald City. There was nothing weird or strange that happened this year, which I'm grateful for.
Oh, that is good.
So,
like, what do you mean by weird or strange? I'm not digging for gossip, but like what?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, and not in the gossip sense. Like, oh, there's always gossip, but we'll just leave that alone.
Right.
No, it's a lot of years at cons. There are people who come up to your table who are either causing a problem or just memorable in ways that you don't want people to be memorable.
Right.
And yeah, it's just they stick out, and you talk about them with friends for the next year, because I mean, it's like okay, I have no issue with furries, right? Like they're living their best life, they're having fun, they're not hurting anyone. Go for it.
Yeah.
But there was one year where there was somebody in a furry suit who came by our tables. I say our tables because me and Valentine Barker always try to sit next to each other at shows. You know, completely separate tables, everything, but I consider them our tables.
Sure.
But they came by. And again, like, furries will come by in a full fursuit. This is fine. That, you know, again, the work and craftsmanship that goes into these things is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And usually they'll, like, take off a glove so they can pick things up and look at it and talk to you and buy some stuff or not and go on. This person didn't want to break character. And apparently, like, their only method of communication was, like, a squeaker.
Oh.
So they were just squeaking at things, but they also wouldn't take off their gloves. They're kind of just patting at things. But so you have to have this whole game of, like, oh, did you want to buy this? Yeah, come on. Like, I get it, but also, don't make this, like, effort. For both of us, and like, why?
Right, yeah, that should be
so, annoying.
That should be a rule of thumb with if you're doing any kind of like really involved cosplay or anything like that.
Right.
Like, all the effort should be on your end. Don't spill that effort out into other people.
Right. I mean, I have had people who come up with like really intricate like nails or finger things, you know, coverings or whatever. And I've said, like, oh, you know, hold on, like, I have trouble, like, separating out my money, and I get it.
Right.
But they're still not making it hard for me to help them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's the, oh, I didn't quite think this costume through for buying things.
Right, yeah.
Give me a second.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, when you make it hard for me to be like, I don't even know what you want. I don't know if you want the book or you're saying you like it or anything. And meanwhile, you're pawing at stuff, like, literally just kind of pawing at stuff. So you're just shifting everything on my table when you're doing that. You're not endearing yourself to me either.
Damn.
Because now I have to, you know, like, straighten it. And I've seen, like, I have had furries come by the table before, and I'm not casting again. I have nothing against furries. But it usually is furries who don't want to break character and have these big intricate things. And there have been some other people in different costumes that have the same problem. And often they'll travel with a friend. Who can make their purchase. You know, they'll point to stuff, and the friend understands what they're trying to get across. And can then buy stuff and not be a problem. So it's stuff like that. It's stuff like the guy who came by 1 year and picked up Amelia Cole, our all-ages comic, that has a female protagonist, and started bitching at us that women in comics aren't allowed to be sexy anymore. And I just looked at him dead in the eye. I was just like, just turn around. Go anywhere else. Like, you can find that. It's not hard to find here, but that's not what we are personally doing with this book. Like, we're not stopping anyone. What... And, like, behind him was, like, one of these people who had, like, I mean, basically, you can describe their booth as, like, big anime tits. Like, that was what they were selling.
Yeah.
And, again, like, that's what they're making money off of. It, I'm not judging them much. Okay, I'm judging them. But, like, that's what they're selling. There's a market for it. There are people buying it. That's fine. But, like, if that's what you want, then go buy that. Don't come buy my shit and tell me, like, I'm stopping that from existing. I,
that's weird.
If I could stop that from existing, it wouldn't be there. I also probably wouldn't stop it from existing for the most part. Some of it, yes. But for the most part, you know, it's fine, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, seriously, like, but just kind of lectured us for like 10 minutes. Like, this shit happens, you know. And of course, one of my all-time favorites, and I say that sarcastically, is the person who comes up, flips through the books, and again, like, not every year, but it happens, okay? Like, it, like every other year, it's about how frequently it happens. Comes up, flips through stuff, and goes, hey, now that I've looked at your books, you have to look at mine. And, like, pulls out some stuff and expects me to sit there and read through, like, their printouts of their comic or their webcomic or whatever while they tell me all about it at length. And it's like, you know, I'm actually trying to essentially run a small business here.
Yeah.
Like, also, I do this professionally. Like, I edit stuff professionally. If you want, I can give you rates and we can talk. But, you know, and the thing is, like, you can't, because you want to be a professional, you can't just be like, just fuck off.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have to try to, like, disentangle them gently. And sometimes it works better than others.
Yikes. Yeah, and,
so, I mean, that's what I mean by, like, nothing weird happened. Like, there was none of that this year.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, it's refreshing. You don't always realize it when it's happening. Like, it's you come home, and, like, 2 days later, you're like, hey. Hey, there was none of that.
Because hey,
you're so in the moment. Like, you don't process. I know, like, I was talking to Valentine the other day, and he's like, yeah. And he told me some story about something that happened. Again, not a bad thing. Just, oh, I remember this person said this thing. And it's the, like, slowly memories filter in over the course of the next week.
Right.
Because we're getting to the table by, like, 9:30. We're leaving the table at 7. You know, for 4 days straight. We're getting in a day early. And then there's hanging out with people and having dinner and conversations that go to, like, 1 in the morning with friends. And other, you know, and compatriots, I guess, fellow professionals, whatever you want to say. So, yeah, remembering every little minute is not going to happen instantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I will tell you, though, oh, I discovered a podcast that I never want to hear again.
Oh.
How's that for fun?
Boy, I can't.
I ended up getting a ride back from somebody else. Just because, you know, usually I ride up with Valentine, but in past years, you know, Laszlo's lived here, and he would, you know, ride back with me. Or also up, depending how long he was at the con.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's moved out, so I don't have a ride back, and I don't drive. And Valentine was staying till Monday, which I kind of wish I could have, but I couldn't, you know, money and time.
Gotcha.
So I got a ride back with a different friend, which is very helpful, and I appreciate the hell out of it. But half an hour or so in, we get the, do you guys mind if I listen to this podcast? I think it's funny. And turns on for the remaining 2.5 hours of this drive.
Uh-huh.
Episodes of Anything Ghost.
Anything.
Anything Ghost. It is a horror podcast.
Uh-huh.
Wherein the host reads stories about the paranormal that listeners write in, and occasionally plays audio of listeners reading their own stories.
Okay.
These are all terrible. Like, most of them are so vague that to the point of, like, you're trying to figure out what is even supposed to be paranormal about this.
Yeesh.
And a lot of them are just, you know, and then this weird thing happened and whatever. There was one, however, that had a line that I just adored. Because this woman's going about how, like, you know, well, this, you know, her family is very big into the spiritual. And her uncle died. And she had this feeling that her uncle wanted to tell her something. And she's going, and, like, so far she's, you know, sounding fairly skeptical. But then, she says she told her mother, and her mother said, you should talk to him. And she said, I don't want to talk to him, Mom. He's dead. Not, I can't talk to him. Not, he's dead and that's not a thing. Just, I don't want to because he's dead. Like, as if this is normal. And I'm like, okay, so you're starting from a place. Like...
I will put this on my list of things not to listen to.
Yeah, like, I almost think, like, you should, like, listen to, like, part of an episode just to kind of go, what the hell? And every all the readers end all the stories. Apparently he ends most of the podcast with, I forget what the phrase is now. It's like, you know, stay safe or whatever it is. But, like, they all say it and it's like, you know, stay safe type of way. And I'm just like, what is going on? Also, the guy who hosts it has that kind of NPR drone.
Oh, yes.
Which is kind of good for radio, depending on what you're reading. So long as what you're reading is not supposed to be spooky.
Good point.
Because if you're trying to read spooky stuff and you sound like, you know, like, kind of like Walter Cronkite on, like, lewds, it's not working for me.
This all makes sense.
Yeah. So, that was a thing that happened to my life. Yeah, I just... man, I'm not going to get the taste of that podcast out of my head for a while. I said, like, it's been a week, and I'm still occasionally just be like, I don't want to talk to him. Mom, he's dead.
Oh my God.
That's why he listens to it, because he finds it funny. I just found it almost a little bit more grating than funny,
just
personally.
Yeah, too painful to be funny. Oh, my God. Well, so glad that I have not had to listen to that podcast, I have to say.
Yeah.
But I did, by way of segue, I did get to watch Under the Silver Lake.
Yes.
Which, and this is David Robert Mitchell, and he came out a few years ago with The Myth of the American Sleepover, which was kind of an enjoyable sort of little sort of like coming of age relationship movie. Then followed that up with It Follows, which is, I love that movie. It's just... It takes a rather silly premise and deploys it to really horrific effect. Anyway,
right.
This has been out for a while. Like, I think it came out in 2018. It showed up at Cannes in the competition slot, and basically, what people flocked to see it, and they're like, "This sucks." Which has made me kind of, like, curious, because I'm like, well, how bad can it be?
Right.
It's really bad. Adam, this is a terrible film, and it's terrible in really particular ways. If I had to guess, I would guess that this is a script that Mitchell probably wrote a long time ago, maybe wanted to get it made for a while, and then now that he has, like, the sort of the status and the money to make it happen, decided to make it happen. And yeah, this is what happens when nobody's telling somebody to stop. You get something
right.
Under the Silver Lake. It's a Lynchian noir film. Andrew Garfield plays this guy who lives in an apartment presumably in Silver Lake in Los Angeles.
Sure.
And he sits around on the balcony all day. He doesn't have a job. You know, he's running out of money. And then he just, like, kind of, you know, has binoculars and spies on women. So there's lots of shots of, like women's butts, you know, in, like, really sort of not comfortable close-up. I'm just like, are we supposed to be leering too? I think we are. This is not fun. And then he sort of hooks up with this girl, this new neighbor named Sarah, played by Riley Keough. And the next day he comes back, and the apartment is a crime scene. It's deserted. Somehow it's a crime scene, but people can still walk in and out. Don't ask me. And then this like bizarre sort of like conspiracy of signs and comic books and codes and pop culture references begins to unfold around him, and it is just so much. It feels so weirdly self-important and just misjudged at almost every turn. Like there's scenes where you're like, oh, this is gonna be good, and it starts off good. Like it's clearly he's got like a really good idea, and then it just ends on like a really off note. It's like I don't know why you did that.
Weird.
And stuff that just made me wonder like what the point was. Like at one point he comes out, he owns a Dodge Charger. I don't know how he affords it, but he owns it. And so he comes out and it's been keyed, not just keyed, but somebody's keyed like a sort of a dick onto the hood. Of his car, and then he realizes there's some like 11-year-old kids that are like going down the street doing this, and he runs up to them and he proceeds to beat the crap out of them, like literally just like punching them in the stomach and kicking them, and like they have eggs, they're egging things, so he like basically breaks the egg and shoves it in their mouths, and I'm like, this is just not funny. This is just really weirdly bad. And it's actually Mark Kermode on his review. He said it's one of those films that's so sufficiently bad, and this is exactly what I thought, that you sort of, it makes you want to go back to his last film and see whether it was good after all. I mean, I still like It Follows, but it almost feels like, Jesus, maybe we're just mistaken. It also feels like you remember when Richard Kelly came out with Donnie Darko and everybody loved it, and then he came out with Southland Tales, which was like that huge sort of sprawling, total clusterfuck of a movie that made no sense. This feels a little bit like that. It feels like he just went like shot for the stars and just went no, like just it burned up on like exiting the atmosphere.
Gotcha. That's a thing.
It's a thing. It was a real. Yeah, I was. And yet there are some good parts. I mean, I gotta say, like, he's directed it like an old sort of, like, noir, and it works. Parts of that work really beautifully, like scenes that fade into one another. The score for the movie is, like, gorgeous. It's like an old Bernard Herrmann score. It's wonderful. Nice. So there are things that, you know, there are aspects of the film that are a real pleasure. But so much of it is just... I think we're supposed to like the main character, but he's not likable. He's just kind of like an asshole. So, but because he's clearly like I'd say he's like a young white guy. So it's like, oh, I guess he's important somehow to this narrative, even though he's just like obviously a loser the whole way through. But anyway, but maybe we're not supposed to.
Yeah, that sounds
whatever.
Yeah, that sounds like a thing.
It's a thing. It's not a thing you want, but it's a thing you get.
That sounds about right. I know it's a little early, but I might, if you're cool with it, I might think we should end today. Just because I'm more and more realizing that like my head is drifty.
Oh, sure.
I still haven't honest to God recovered fully from the con, which I know sounds ridiculous. Like, oh, you've had a week. Let me tell you. I've had a week during which I've been working instead of recovering. So... Yeah, I'm just not focusing well.
That's okay. We can cut things here, and we can resume it next week.
Sounds good. Let's cue some music.